Hey there. Hi there. This is Nicole, aka CineFem, and you are listening to Technicolored Glasses. This is the podcast where I discuss what I love to talk about most, film. This season on the podcast, we are covering the year 1994, which was an exceptional year in film history. We're talking about it. We are highlighting a different film each episode, 30 films total, because 1994 was 30 years ago. And so far we have covered Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and Reality Bites. This episode got a new one. Before I get into that, I finally finished Succession. If you follow me on Instagram, at CinePhem, CinePhemme, if you follow me there, you know that. And you've seen the charting of my viewing, but wowza is all I have to say about that. But because I finished that, it has been difficult to get too involved in much else. It's one of those TV shows, much like a Gillian Flynn book for me. It's just extremely difficult to go into something else after that. So I'm still kind of in a transition period after my Succession binge, but I've been, you know, rewatching Sex and the City, but that's not really accurate because my whole life is rewatching, you know, Sex and the City, and Friends, and, but Sex and the City is still on HBO Max, but now Netflix has acquired it, which I'm still sort of baffled by, but it's on both now. So like more ways to make that happen. And I have the whole series in the one big, you know, pink velvet box set. So that's off and on in the background. Again, nothing new, but maybe it's a palate cleanser for me to move on past Succession. Stephen King is my literary palate cleanser. These things really have nothing to do with anything. Just throwing them out there. Little getting to know me stuff. So anyway, not too much else to report, in that vein. So let's just get to it, huh? Let's get to it. So the film that we're going to talk about this time around is just a really special one. Not only a great film from 1994, but just a great solid film in general. It is the kind of romantic comedy that I really like. Smart and truly funny and romantic. That should go without saying, but it doesn't always. But just sort of a dry, almost cynical, yet genuine at the same time. Very complicated and wonderful. So released on March 9th, 1994. We're talking about Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to drag you from your delicious dessert. There are just one or two little things I feel I should say as best man. This is only the second time I've ever been a best man. I hope I did the job all right that time. The couple in question are at least still talking to me. Unfortunately, they're not actually talking to each other. The divorce came through a couple of months ago. But I'm assured it had absolutely nothing to do with me. Apparently, Paula knew that Piers had slept with her younger sister before I mentioned it in the speech. The fact that he slept with her mother came as a surprise.
So Four Weddings and a Funeral is just this really sharply observed film that is so offbeat and quirky and just very singular experience, especially for a romantic comedy. It has sort of like a Muriel's Wedding kind of vibe. Very, very unique, and was for me a very early film of that genre that was different and, as I said before, dry and little edgier. And of course it is British, which might have something to do with it, but yeah, I mean, it's a British romantic comedy. It's directed by Mike Newell, who very oddly went on to, he directed several other things, but notably Donnie Brasco, which is a wonderful movie, but odd one that he is a British director who directed this mafia organized crime film that was quite good. Al Pacino and Johnny Depp, and yeah, not what you'd expect. He also did Pushing 10, the fourth Harry Potter film, Goblet of Fire, and Mona Lisa Smile, which I'm not a huge fan of, so we'll just leave it at that. But Mike Newell, and the screenwriter of Four Weddings and a Funeral, Richard Curtis, he would go on to not only have a pairing with Hugh Grant, who we will talk about more here. They would team up again and again in things like Notting Hill and Bridget Jones's Diary and Love Actually. Notting Hill and Bridget Jones's Diary are actually two more of those wonderful types of drier, very British romantic comedies that just to me are excellent examples of the genre really like doing what it does at its best. Richard Curtis also would go on to write About Time and Yesterday, both of which I enjoyed quite a lot, and especially About Time, very special movie. So good team happening here. And that would again bring us to Hugh Grant, who stars in Four Weddings and a Funeral as Charles. This was not his first film, but it was the film that made him famous. And, you know, sort of that quintessential Hugh Grant, like, quality character, bumbling, awkward talk, you know, the stuttering, charming, you know, British fellow, that was so endearing in this film. Of course, it would go on to both serve him and stifle him, only in that, you know, the typecasting, of course, but he would eventually manage to just roll on past that. Bridget Jones had a lot to do with that, playing a scoundrel, which then of course he would become a little bit more well known for, but perhaps people forget that that was playing against type at the time quite a bit and very well. He would do that again and also brilliantly in About a Boy, another favorite of mine. But back to Four Weddings and a Funeral. Yes. So this film was made in 6 weeks, and it cost under $3 million to make. And it actually, at the time, became the highest grossing British film ever. It was a very unexpected success. Wound up with a universal box office of like $245 million. It got lots of Oscar nominations, Golden Globe, BAFTA. Hugh Grant won the Golden Globe for Best Actor. Also, the BAFTA for Best Actor. And yeah, lots of success for this film, rightfully so, very deserved. And yeah, like I said, it skyrocketed Hugh Grant into stardom, most especially in the US. And it's a hell of a movie. It really, really is. Also starring Andie MacDowell, who was really, really huge, especially in the 90s. But she, you know, she continues to be wonderful. But this and Green Card, Groundhog Day, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, all wonderful, all great Andie MacDowell performances and great films. Heading on back to this great film, Four Weddings and a Funeral, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It is a film consisting of four weddings and a funeral, and the various characters that run through this story and these events. And it starts out May 1st, 1993, at a wedding in Somerset. And Charles, again, Hugh Grant, he is the best man. He is late. He is without the rings. He gives a questionable speech, which is quite amusing, actually. But, you know, this is the kind of guy he is. He is a commitment phobe, but he is very sweet and charming. And he's not an asshole, which is interesting. You know, he's not just like a straight up dick who can't commit or whatever. He just is afraid of commitment. He is just a very unsure individual, a very, you know, unsure of this whole thing called marriage, which is understandable. And so the first part of this film is at this wedding, and there is him. There is Carrie, who is played by Andie MacDowell, an American, who is in attendance at this wedding. Charles is incredibly attracted to her. So that begins. And then there are, as they would say, a colorful cast of characters. There's Charles's flatmate, Scarlett, his friend Fiona, who is Kristen Scott Thomas. We will come back to her for sure. Her brother, Tom, Gareth and Matthew, who are same-sex partners. This film is another early first for me in that the way it portrayed these two without making a big old thing about it. It just is what it is. They're together just like other people throughout this film. And that was interesting. It was refreshing. And yeah, I mean, it was a same-sex pairing that was taken seriously and just not much ado about it, you know. And then Charles has a brother, David, who is hearing impaired. And yeah, it's just all of these people at this wedding. The wedding is Angus and Laura. And Charles meets Carrie. And they end up spending the night together after this wedding. And she has to return to the U.S. like the next morning, so they have no time together. There's this whole "we missed a great opportunity" kind of thing, but then, you know, that's it. And that's kind of the setup with that first wedding. And then we continue with the events throughout the film and what's going on with the characters at each of these times. So 3 months later comes the second wedding. Bernard and Lydia, who met at the previous wedding, this time Tom is the best man. Charles and Carrie run into each other again. They're excited. They do end up spending another night together, but it's a little more complicated this time, as Carrie now has a fiance, this older Scottish fiance named Hamish, of course. And let's see. Oh, during this reception, Charles is kind of like humiliated by several exes. Henrietta appears. She's an ex of his who Fiona calls Duckface, which is funny because I could see she does sort of have a duck face, but she's also very pretty. You have to see her. I can't explain it, but she kind of shows up. Her brother was sort of inadvertently insulted by Charles at the first wedding. So this is just kind of a continuing thing that one event leads to the next event. Characters, things are happening, things go back and connect. It's this interwoven, colorful tale with all these different characters. And another thing that I just really love about the film is that these other characters, obviously, you know, Charles is the main character, and Charles and Carrie's will they or won't they dynamic is the driving force of the film. But the side characters, they are not just pushed to the side. They are like supporting characters in the true sense of the word. Shit happens with them. They're not sidelined. It's important. Everything that happens is important, and they all truly tie into each other and what's going on with each other, their feelings, their actions. A great example of this is later on. I don't want to totally give the film away if you haven't seen it, but a pretty huge event occurs. Let's just say the funeral. It's right there in the title. And that leads to a pretty major decision on the part of a major character, a couple major characters. And so driving forces throughout the film. And then just the long and the short of it is, like you might expect, big things happen, kind of shake some of the characters, Charles included, makes them think about the fact that, you know, makes them think about commitment and the things that they feared and the things that are real, and, you know, just kind of rethink their lives just like you would expect. And what's interesting about that, though, is that that all tracks, that all makes sense. We can follow that. However, in the end, it does not play out in the traditional expected narrative that you would expect of, well, a film, period, honestly, but a romantic comedy. It's not formulaic, but it's also not so cynical that it completely, like, you know, throws or upends the, you know, whole romance aspect. But it's not saccharine either. It's this beautiful balance that I have seldom seen achieved in the genre. So I just truly appreciate it. It also, again, I saw it when it came out, 1994. I was 16. I was young, but I did know innately that I was maybe not a non-traditional or not a traditional person. Didn't desire the things that maybe I found other people around me desiring. And this film was interesting to me because it does have love and it does have a commitment of sorts, but not in a traditional way. But it's natural. It comes natural. It's not forced. It's not like an anvil smacking down saying, either one saying, oh my gosh, you've been wrong all this time, run out and get married. But it's also not, don't commit to anything or whatever. It's this other thing that is valid and beautiful and right for these characters and felt right to me. And I appreciated that. And even now, you know, 30 years later, I still would say that there aren't tons of things that really, really reflect that, in film. And that's interesting. That's really interesting and important and was a huge, huge thing about this movie that really, really, really hit me, and it continues to hit me, and I think it could continue to hit people as they see it now, because it is very different and unapologetic in that sense. So yeah, the dogs were just barking. I did not stop talking because I felt that I was on a roll. So yes, distracting, loud. If you need to rewind that to hear, you know, the words of wisdom coming from me, great. If not, you probably didn't miss that much. I think we are about to the end of this episode. I do want to circle on back to Kristin Scott Thomas because I said I would. I just love her in this film as Fiona. Obviously, she's gone on to do many great things. You know, probably the most well-known for The English Patient. The film gets a bad rap. I like it. What can I say? The book's good, too. I think maybe she's known more as just a very, you know, stiff upper lip British lady or whatever, which, you know, is totally fine because, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. But I love her in Four Weddings and a Funeral. I think it's my favorite of hers. She's not in it a lot, but she's in it just enough to make a mark. She is likable. She's one of these characters, because she's in love with Charles, but quietly, unreciprocated love, you know? Most people can relate to that. And so that makes her very accessible, but she's also very smart and funny and probably way too good for this guy anyway. So there's that. There's just something really, really cool about the way that she plays this character. I really love her. If you check out the movie, pay attention to her. I think it's definitely one of her most enjoyable roles, and it's always what I remember. good stuff. So I think that's about it for Four Weddings and a Funeral. If you haven't seen it, obviously check it out. If you haven't seen it in a while, check it out again. Great film. Yet another example of the wonderful tour of 1994 in film, Four Weddings and a Funeral. So next time we are going to dive into a film that I did not appreciate when it came out, but in retrospect have grown to greatly appreciate and to watch every Labor Day. That's a clue. It's a deep cut, but if you know, you know. So we are going to tackle that next time. Please rate, review, subscribe, all of those things. They really do matter. They really do help. I appreciate you so much, all of you who listen, who read my Substack, CineFim, and follow me on Instagram at CineFim, Blue Sky at CineFim, and who are listening to this podcast. Thank you, thank you. Listen wherever you listen. Do all the things. Appreciate you. Thank you. Come on back next time. Talk at you later.